Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I'm so thrilled to be able to share the Word of God with you. I know that you're going to love this message about Psalm 37. I'm talking about the big five: trust, delight, commit, and all those things that we are called by God to do that places us in Christ in the power of God. So it starts out by saying, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So three times in those passages, the writer says, don't fret. Now, this is written by David. It's written by an aged David, not a young David. This is David when he's old, because later on in the psalm, he says, I have been young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. So he is in his latter days writing the psalm, and he is saying three times in just those first few short verses, he's saying, don't worry. Just don't worry, be happy. Worry just seems to hijack your head, right? And grab a hold of your emotions without any invitation at all. And suddenly you're jittery and you're feeling warmed up. That word, don't fret, in Hebrew means don't heat up. The two things that'll heat you up are anger and anxiety, the double A's, especially in men's worlds. That's why Paul says to Timothy, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, without anger or anxiety. And so sometimes we hover between the two. Sometimes it's a cocktail of emotions in our own heart that's creating all sorts of difficulties in our thinking, in our health, in all sorts of areas around our lives. And that's why worship is so important. Worship is the antidote to anxiety and anger. It is the medicine. It is the evaporator. It will dissolve. It will melt away anger and anxiety when you come into the presence of God. That's why Paul says, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Because when you lift up holy hands, you actually take yourself out of those negative emotions and you start to worship. And it's such an opportunity here every week. Every time you come into the house of God for 30 minutes, there's going to be worship. That's why all these worship leaders and these people are so very important and so very vital to everybody's spiritual health, because they are leading us in a pathway where we can cleanse and purge and wash ourselves of negativity and emotions that would erode our confidence in life. And we lift up holy hands and we can find ourselves free from anxiety and anger by the end of a church service. And that isn't just something that gets fixed once in a lifetime. Oh, I'm fixed now. It's like something that we need regularly. It's like worship is something we need to go to all the time. There is a war for our mind. A battle is often being waged for our thoughts. That what we focus on is where we're going to go. And so the enemy knows that and will try to get you focused on negative things. But as you start worshiping and talk to God and tell him how great he is, you'll find that that actually dislodges and disarms the power of the enemy and has enormous power in it to take you forward into a fresh place. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now, here are two reasons why people start to get anxious or angry or fret. They're vexed on the inside of their emotions. And they're vexed because of evildoers or vexed because of the workers of iniquity. Now, let me cover the second one first, where it says, David, and this is often a subject of a lot of his psalms, where he is perplexed by this seeming lack of fairness in life, by the inequity of the fact that he is living a pure life and has devoted himself to God and is doing all the right stuff, but he's having trials and tribulations, and it's difficult. He's finding it a real challenge to live because there are circumstances that are going wrong. And then he looks over at all the adult schoolies who are partying on, going nuts and being crazy and doing all the things that he has decided he's not going to do, but these guys are doing it, and they seem to be just fine. Nothing's going wrong in their life. They're prospering. They're happy. And he says, God, this is crazy. In fact, in Psalm 73, he talks about when he considered this, he said, my feet had just about slipped. I just about started sliding back because it appeared to me that they were all right. And me over here, on the other hand, was having trial after trial, was getting trouble and corrected by God and chastised. He said, I've cleansed my hands in vain, in futility, because I just get a bad time. These guys are having the good times. And then he said, but then I went to church until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their end, that there are consequences. And I understood my end and their end. And the two were as vastly different as heaven and hell. And he said, that's when I got my faith back. And that's when I got courage, when I got into the presence of God. And so it resolved it for him. Now it says, the other one is, fret not yourself because of evildoers. They shall soon be cut down like grass. Here's the thing. Believers are never called grass. People who walk in Christ, who live in the Word of God, who follow Jesus, are never called grass. You're called trees. Grass has got really shallow roots. And it can't survive all the seasons. When summer comes along and there's no water, it withers and is blown away by the wind in a very short space of time, and it just becomes a dust ball. Trees, however, will survive a tough time. They've got roots that go down deep, and they've got reserves inside of them. They got leaves that hang out before the Lord. And any believer who is planted in the house of God, who is planted in the Word of God, you're going to survive all the seasons that you go through in life. Whereas the evildoer, yeah, go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering. You will survive everything because of that plantedness. Even though there may be tough seasons that you're going through, and as long as you stay planted and keep those roots down deep in the Word of God, you're going to find yourself solid. You're going to find yourself surprising yourself that even if you get tipped over, you got enough lead in your keel, now I'm talking yachts, to upright. You'll come upright again and you'll be sailing off. But you will have moments when you're tipped over, when you feel like it's all over, where it's trouble. But you will get there. On the other hand, evildoers will be cut off like the grass and like the green herb. When Chris and I first started pastoring, I was 23, and we pastored a little church in Littleton of just 30 people. And it didn't grow over those 3 years. That we started with 15 and grew all the way up to 30. And that was it. It kind of just got capped there. And I'm sure that we were learning. I mean, 23 years old, I used to wear a suit and a tie. I didn't tell anybody how old I was. I tried to look older just so anybody would listen to me. And I didn't want anybody to know in case they said, oh, he's too young to be doing what he's doing. But the Lord had put us in there. The whole thing is that with 30 people, it's a very close-knit community. And there were two ladies in there who had been founding members with us and were quite strong and contributing to us getting going. And they felt that that gave them, you know, sort of some weight to actually tell me how to run the place. And they said, oh, we shouldn't be connected with that group over there, because we were connected, submitted to another pastor and his church, and we were like a satellite, like, you know, campus, if you like. And they said, we should be going independent, we should be staying. I said, no, that's not the deal here. I'm happy with this relationship. It's good for us. And they said, oh, no, and they started telling everybody around the church. And because it's such a small church, gossip was around the church in like 3 days. Everybody in the place was all upset and angsty, and I'm ringing up people and getting this worrying thing going on. And I didn't know how to control this. And so the Lord said to me while I was in prayer, he said, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Out of this psalm, I opened up the thing, don't worry about evildoers. I said, Lord, you can't talk like that. These are Christians. He said, they're doing evil, aren't they? I said, yeah. He said, well, they're Christian evildoers. And he said, but don't worry about them because they'll be soon cut down like grass. Now, the thing with God soon and my soon, they're two different soons, right? Soon to me is like in 5 minutes. Soon to him could be 5 years. And for him, he's in eternity. Soon, you know, 5 years looks like soon to him. And down here, that's not soon. But he's not convinced. And so he says, soon they'll all be cut down like grass. And actually, it got dealt with. Actually, Chris got on the phone, and that pretty well fixed things up. Amen. But then we saw the hand of God coming. They were gone, literally. I won't go into it, but it just happened so swiftly by the power of God if people get like that these days, I'm not bothered about me. I'm saying that's not good for your health. Believe me. Look after yourself. You don't want to develop an attitude like that or get a tongue like that, because that's going to prevent you from enjoying the great health that God's got for you. And so he said, soon they'll be cut down and they're gone. Then the second point in this is trust. First one is be calm. I got five C's here, the high five. Trust in the Lord. Be confident in God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. The two are connected. And it can be kind of challenging to see how they're connected until you think about the life of Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham was told to go to a land, to leave his homeland and go to the promised land. He arrives in the promised land and God says, I'm going to bless you in this place. But then a drought came along and that didn't look like blessing to Abraham. And he said, well, when there's a drought, you need to move away to where you can feed your animals and let everything get looked after. And so he went down to Egypt. He left the land that God had told him to go and stay in. He went down to Egypt, and in Egypt, they lived happily. He had to do a few cover-up jobs to protect his wife. He deceived the local king. He did all kinds of things that were crazy. But maybe the craziest thing he did was to employ an Egyptian handmaiden whose name was Hagar. And she came back with them when they eventually returned to the land. But because of that connection, they ended up having the child Ishmael, which was not considered by God to be the child of promise. And then Isaac came along a few years later. Because of that, there was conflict in that home, deep conflict, so much so that it split. And that deep ancient hatred that was started there survives right through to today. It is astonishing what problems we pick up when we leave the land that God has planted us in that has consequences that may even reach beyond our own lifetime. And certainly that happened in this situation. And so when Isaac came along, Isaac experienced exactly the same thing. As he grew up, there was a famine in the land. And you read over in Genesis 26 how that God says, don't leave the land. And the implication is like your father did. Don't leave the land. And so it says Isaac stayed in the land and he sowed in the land. And in that land, he prospered in that year 100-fold. And it says the Lord began to prosper him. So he prospered until he became very prosperous. He got blessed because he stayed in that land, even though circumstances were difficult. And you will find that there are moments where it is so challenging to be in the place where God has put you, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And you'll find that he will bless you in the place, in the house of God, in the land, in the position where he has led you. The third one is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Celebrate God. The Westminster Catechism says this. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, you'll notice that word enjoy is spelled E-N-J-O-Y, not E-N-D-U-R-E.
You don't endure God, you enjoy God. All of us are facing difficult situations all the time, no matter what they are. One of the best things you can do in the middle of that is just smile and delight in God. Delighting in God is loving the Bible. It's loving worship. It's loving the people of God. It's loving His purpose in your life. It's loving the gifts He's given you. It's loving everything that God has done for you. Rather than despising the Bible or despising worship or despising these things. And when you love God, when you enjoy God, it's His pure delight to give you the desires of your heart. He is not wanting to withhold from anybody on earth. God's greatest wish is to bring your dreams to pass. Many times, Chris and I have seen this down to the tiniest details. When we've bought a house or a car or anything like that, we have found that there are little things that we have said every now and then that are amazing. Like Chris has said, "Oh, I love those little white Japanese rocks," or "Yeah, we just like those little, you know," and we haven't even prayed those things. And it's like the Holy Spirit is walking around with you, ticking all these boxes. And then when you're done, he just creates a few more of his own. He thinks they'll like this too, and they'll like that, and does more abundantly. I can remember dreaming about some things years and years ago, thinking that would be amazing. And then it comes to pass. If you continually love God, you'll be surprised at the level of detail He is into about fulfilling the dreams and the desires that you've got in your life. He is interested in your life counting the hairs on your head. He is deeply affected by His love for every single human on this earth. He sends His Son to die so that He can fellowship with every single one of us. God is into you. He wants to fulfill the dreams that you've got on the inside of your life. Number four, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Commit your way. So right now, between this and next weekend, that's what we're doing. We're saying, "Lord, here's my way. I want to put it before You." Now, let me, I'll read you the Proverbs 16 verse 3 Message Bible, speaking on the same kind of theme. Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. And here's the Pringle version, okay? It's not really a version of the Bible. It's just me commentating on it. Give your plans to God. Let Him mess with them. Follow His guidance. He'll speak to you in your heart. You'll know what to do and what to not do. Follow this guidance. And even if it isn't the way you expected, God will eventually fulfill the desires of your heart His way. All right, let me tell you a story that happened when Chris and I were first starting this church way back. It must have been about like 1982. Chris wanted to take Rebecca back to New Zealand. I thought it was Joseph, but it was before Joseph was born, actually. And so Chris wanted to go back to see her mother and take Rebecca back and let them get reacquainted. Chris's mom didn't like flying, didn't want to get on a plane, and so we wanted to do it that way. So we went down to the travel agent in Narrabeen and organized the ticket, and she said that'll be $700 return ticket, and we didn't have that much. And we said, "Let's just commit it to the Lord." And so we said, "God, it's Your, we're stepping out and we commit our ways into Your hands." And that was on the Saturday, and the travel agent rang us up and said, "You're leaving," like it was next Monday or Tuesday. "You need to come down and pay for the tickets." And we say, "We'll be down on Monday first thing in the morning." And she said, "Well, it's going to be very late." I said, "Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be there." And so we still didn't have this cash. We went to church, and a brother came up to us and said, "Look, I just feel the Lord has spoken to me to loan you $700. And we said, "That's awesome. Amen." Yeah, so we said, "Sure, we'll love that, and we'll pay you back in about a couple months." And he said, "That's fine." So Chris went down, paid the ticket, and went off to New Zealand and spent time with her mum. And that started a series of events that led to her mum coming to Christ and getting water baptized. And so that was an awesome moment. And then, we thought about how we were going to pay for this. And Jim, my brother, who was in New Zealand, had left his car, which was a Volkswagen, which is worth around about $700 here in Australia. And he said, he heard about Chris, you know, and how she got back and we loaned the money. He said, oh, take my car, sell it, and use that for the ticket. And I said, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. And so we let it be known to a few people, if you want to buy this car, you're welcome. So a brother in the church came up to me and said, I want to buy the car, but I haven't got the money right now. And so, can I buy the car? I said, sure. He said, but I don't want to buy it for me. I want to buy it for a young family in the church. You just name the family. And I said, wow, there is a new family turned up. So I'd love to give it to them. He said, sure, well, let's do that. So we invited that young couple around with their kids and we had dinner. And at the end of dinner, I said, hey guys, I know you haven't got a car, but now you do. And here's the keys. And they were, whoa. And went out, drove home, Volkswagen. And I'm sure that was a blessing to them. I was believing. And so they drove away in a new car. Okay, so Chris has returned from New Zealand where we've given the new car away, the car. And then we're in church at the Cromer Community Center Hall. We used to move around a lot while we were getting our first church ready in DY through parade, going through all sorts of council compliances. While we're doing that, we shifted a lot. And you needed to be quite intelligent in those days to be in our church to know where we were going to be week after week. Not that you don't have to be intelligent these days, all right? And I remember in that meeting, the guy, he came up to me and who had bought the car for the other couple. He said, ah, I got the $700, here it is. I said, thank you very much. I walked over to the other brother who had loaned us the money for the air ticket. I've still got you? You with me? I know, it's complicated, I know. But anyway, yeah, walked over to the other brother and gave it and said, hey, here's the money that you loaned us, paying you back for that air ticket. And it so happened that day we were having a building fund offering. And he said, oh, put it in the building fund. Amen. So we put it in the building fund. So out of that, you know, the building fund got $700. A young family in the church got a new car. A brother got to give in such a way that, you know, he got so blessed out of it. And Chris got to fly back to New Zealand. If you commit your way to God, you'll be amazed at all the little things that can happen just because you've let go and trusted him. And there is a passage in Psalm 46:10. One of the translations says, let go and let God. When we think we're God, when we think we've got it under control, and we hang on to, we'll limit the possibilities in every circumstance. But have faith enough to let it go and trust the living God with whatever it is you're planning, which means you're open to it happening or not happening. You let it go. That's what letting it go means. You take off your control of the end result. He will fulfill the desires of your heart in ways that are far beyond your belief. But he wants to maximize our little lunches that we give to him so that he can feed a multitude. And if we let it go and put it in his hands, once he has looked to heaven and blessed it and starts distributing, you'd be amazed at what God can do with the little that we commit into his hands. Amen. The last one is compose yourself. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Psalm 37 verse 12 says it like this. Bad guys have it in for the good guys, obsessed with doing them in. But God isn't losing any sleep. To him they're a joke with no punchline. Let go, relax, and know that I am God. Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, there's some things that other people can do for us But there's some things that only we can do for ourselves. And one of those is just waiting before God. I try to read the Bible every day. Well, I do. I just read the Bible every day. The thing I try to do is just not read it for sermons, but to read it for myself, to read it for my own spiritual devotional life. And the reason I read a paper Bible is because it doesn't go, it doesn't vibrate. It doesn't go, ding, 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 ding. You've got new mail, you know, make all these noises with little messages coming in, plan your day, and it's too distracting. My ADD just goes crazy when I get inside of these things. Oh, like, and you, a half an hour can go by, and what you plan to do is gone. And you have to be somewhere. And so it's a good idea just to pull out that old legit paper Bible with a pen in your hand, read one passage. You'll come out of that time with a forehead like brass, with all your spiritual armor on. You'll be equal to your day. And you'll find that your word level needs to match your responsibility level and your problem level in life. If there's a deficit there, you'll keep getting swamped. But as soon as you wait on the Lord and wait on that word, you'll have strength where you were fainting before. Those who wait on the Lord will renew strength. And simply to sit in solitude and silence, to actually turn off a few things and to sit there and just start talking to God, His presence will come on you. That's one of the things that you can do, is simply practice the presence of God. Even if you can only grab 5 minutes, take it and put everything down. Even if it's in the car, in a car park, just stop and say, God, I really want to spend a few moments with you. That presence will fill your car. When you get out of the car, you'll walk slower. You won't be so rushed in your head. You won't be so stirred up on the inside. You'll be equal to the situations that you're facing. If you stop and take time to simply wait on God, you'd be amazed at what will surface on the inside of you.
So I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this message today. I'm praying for you and believing God with you to see great things come to pass as you trust, delight, and commit your way into the hands of God.
Ladies, all the things that are happening inside of our brain are all geared in a positive direction.
This is Chris Pringle inviting you to join me, Dr. Caroline Leaf and Darlene Check at Every Woman Conference on the first weekend of November. Come with your girlfriends to this unique 24-hour gathering. Enjoy organic food and treats and nourishment for your spirit, soul, and body.
Fear is not normal. It's something that we wire into our brain through choice.
Register now at everywomangathering.com.